If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Today, I'm thrilled to introduce you to a brand that is a true love letter to all women and today's sponsor of our show, Holistic Goddess. This brand is a sanctuary for those seeking holistic health solutions, offering a space where women can heal, grow, learn, and naturally embrace their inner goddess. They distill decades of wellness wisdom into forms that are accessible and relevant for women, emphasizing the importance of self-love as essential self-care. They're committed to producing clean, natural products with simple ingredients to support women at all ages and stages in their unique health journeys. I personally experienced the power of their commitment when I tried the Bison Trifecta from their Naked collection. It's a potent blend of freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney in capsule form. And honestly, the change was almost instant. Within probably just about 3 days, my energy level soared. I was handling my hectic schedule better and skipping my usual midday crash. That's really important, you guys. This product's purity is impressive too. No vaccines, no antibiotics, no hormones, no fillers, nothing. Just packed with bioavailable nutrition that your body absorbs right away. Since I started using the Bison Trifecta consistently, I've noticed my hair and nails growing faster. And on days I forget to take my Bison Trifecta, I can immediately feel the difference. But once I take it, I'm right back to feeling this new, incredible me. It's become an essential part of my daily routine because feeling this amazing, knowing that your body is working the way it was intended to makes you never want to go back. Also, their signature collection currently offers 10 distinctive products that target a variety of women's health issues. There's sleep support gummies, joint relief, metabolism support, cognitive brain support, hair, skin, and nails gummies, and a bunch of others you should really check out. So for anyone listening who wants to experience this for themselves, use code UNDERSTOOD for 10% off Bison Trifecta. Visit holisticgoddess.com and see how it can change your routine just like it did for mine. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com. Code UNDERSTOOD, HOLISTICGODDESS.com. Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. So today we have the infamous Carney Wilson. She's an actress, talk show host, reality show star, and singer. She was destined to be in show business. She's the daughter of legendary Beach Boys frontman, musical genius Brian Wilson. And later in life, she teamed up with her sister, Wendy, and her friend from childhood, Chyna Phillips, to form soft rock pop super trio Wilson Phillips. I'm sure you remember the song Hold On, which we talk all about in our interview. Carney has done a lot of different work. She's, she was doing a midday talk show. She has been open about her gastric bypass surgery, and now she has a new cooking show out called Sounds Delicious on the streaming service Access TV. We talked to her all about her life, about what is misunderstood about addiction and being famous, and about what's misunderstood about cooking and being on this new show. So, Allison, what were your thoughts about listening to her interview?
Well, I've always been a fan of Wilson Phillips. I mean, I was one of those girls that acted out the whole video. And I love the fact that she's so open about everything. Like, she is no bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't say stuff that's a soundbite. She just says whatever comes to her mind in like a real grounded way. And from coming from a background where your family is so famous and you've been part of the Hollywood life, literally your entire life, the music industry, she has such a real vibe to her that you could see being out, hanging out with her, being in the kitchen with her and cooking, and this very relatable person for someone who, in my opinion, has lived a very unrelatable life.
Yeah, that's true. You guys can also see her on Jeff Lewis Live. She does an after show, and she's basically a contributor. I don't know if it's that official, but she's on often. And she's just awesome. So please, you know, do me a favor. It's always great when you guys write a review, when you subscribe, when you give us 5 stars, or if you don't like it, you can give us less, I guess. But it really helps with the algorithm. I hate to say that and sound like, you know, one of those people, but like, subscribe, and leave a review, but please do, because it does help us. It helps us climb the charts, and we really appreciate you listening. But please enjoy my conversation with Carney Wilson. It is such an honor to have you here. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Rachel. It's good to be here.
So how are you doing? Like, I feel like you are so, you know, every time I turn on, you know, one of my podcasts that I love, like Jeff Lewis or whatever, there you pop up. I get into a car or an elevator. I hear your voice. You're still just everywhere.
it's a great time right now. Yeah. Great time. I'm so happy. I took a walk this morning. I feel energized today. Woke up sober. This is good. It's a good day.
Right. Everyone has something to be grateful for. I think that's very important for people to remember that, because it is very hard sometimes to do that. So I want to start with just having our listeners like hear about you for a minute before we get into like the stuff that you're doing at the moment. Because I think so many of us have grown up, you know, being so enamored with what we all kind of know you for, which is your hit music, right? And your amazing song, Hold On, that, you know, all of us, I think, would be lying if we said we haven't grabbed a hairbrush and stood in front of the mirror and acted out that song, or pretended we were walking down the beach with you in Venice or wherever that was. So before we get into you now, I just want to talk to you about your life when you grew up. You grew up in a musical family. Tell me, you know, about what your childhood was like. Like, did you want to be a veterinarian, or did you know you were going to get into music?
That's funny. When I was like a young girl, about 5 or 6 years old, I wanted to be a nurse. That's what I, because I loved taking care of people. And like, if my sister would fall or get scratched or whatever, I would like help her and nurse her little wound and just be like very motherly, you know? And so I remember wanting to be a nurse when I was young. And then I discovered music, and it was just like, it was just tunnel vision from there. I just couldn't veer from that. It was just my calling, you know? Very musical household. Lots of people coming in and out, lots of parties, it was Hollywood, but it really wasn't. It was just sort of like, my dad was very private, but he had, a large group of friends, and some people were pretty toxic, and it was kind of a fucked up time too, because it was like this, you know, the early 70s, and it was almost like people came around to like give them drugs and like just be a part of this like bubble of rock and roll bubble, I'll call it. And it wasn't, I don't think he really wanted that. I think that he was still trying to be creative, which he was very much so. But he was just sort of doing his thing. And my mom was at just trying to keep the two young girls together and to sort of establish some ground, I don't know, baseline. I don't even know how you would call it.
Foundation, yeah.
Foundation, for our lives, which was like, well, I don't know how normal it was. It was, I mean, Sean Cassidy would knock at the door, at any given point, or like Keith Wood would come and jump in the pool, with his clothes on with my dad. It was anything but normal. But I think my mom was really loving, and dad was too. He was just very much in his own world. But yeah, it's such a different childhood my kids have now versus mine.
Right. I was going
Right.
to ask you who some of the famous people were that, walked into your house and would just hang out and like grab a beer on the couch. Was there anyone besides the names you just met that that stood out that were always there? Or
Well, I don't know about always there, but there was, I mean, Elton John and Paul McCartney would pop by to sing a little bit on the piano, and Elton wanted to buy dad's piano, and he actually begged my dad. My mom has that piano. It's really a great piano. It was Good Vibrations was written on it, and Surf's Up, very special piano. And
wow.
Elton wanted it really badly. He but my mom wouldn't give it to him. But yeah, it was sort of unpredictable, but predictable.
And
Everything.
what was it like? I mean, would you guys just be sitting around harmonizing and singing, or, was their music always playing, or was it always the music that they were making that they were listening to?
Sort of a combination of everything. It was never like this kumbaya, let's sit around the fire and sing harmony. That happened a little bit later, but which is great, 'cause like everything came full circle with my dad, with my mom, everyone, music, and just being able to like record with him, be on stage with him and my mom. So we've had so many great times of just celebrating music and love and family. And it's taken many turns. It's been like this big forest with lots of different things in it. But I'm grateful for everything, the challenging times, the happy times. But music has always been the common denominator, I think.
Yeah. Do you remember what the very first concert you ever went to was?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm assuming it was the Beach Boys, but I think it. I mean, Elton John and Sean Cassidy were the. I think Elton John might have been the first one. I was really young, like 6 or 7. He was my first love, music. I was actually very obsessed with him for a long time, and we had the album Captain Fantastic and all these records. The Carpenters. Lots of these 70s records, which I just can't shake it. I love 70s, so I'm obsessed with 70s music. But Elton was like just the best. So I think Elton was the first.
Do you think having famous parents helped or hindered you when you were first starting your band?
Both. Definitely both. Both because it was like we got in the door. I really believe we got in the door. Just by connections alone, like knowing big producers and songwriters, and being very adamant about writing our own songs, because we knew that people were going to think that we were just riding their coattails. It was really important for us to write our material so we could like get respect. And that was advice given to us by, the great Richard Perry, producer who made all these records that I love growing up listening to. And so like that was kind of like not the warning, but it was more like, if you guys want to have respect in this business, write your songs. We had like not the faintest idea what to do, so we got together with Glenn Ballard, and then we had a few songs and shopped a 4-song demo to several record companies, and then it was like a bidding war. And I do think that they gave their advice. They totally was like, they were like, watch out for this, watch out for the. My dad said, watch out for the sharks, he would say. That's all he ever said. And then my mom was a little more, I don't know, just very supportive of the sound, because we were living with my mom at the time. Wendy was 16 and I was 18. We were young, so we started singing and harmonizing, and she heard it, And she just said, "You guys sound so good together." And it was like sort of a quest at that point.
Right. So I was going to ask how that works. So it was you, your sister, and your high school friend, right? Is that where China came into it?
Actually, since birth. So
Oh,
we've been,
wow.
yeah, so we're 56 years of friendship here.
Oh, that's amazing.
Amazing. I mean, really, really amazing and rare and special. And yeah, so we've always been friends, and we had this idea to do this charity record, like 60s children of 60s groups
Oh.
recording a record together and doing like a charity song, but nobody wanted to do it, so it was just us. And we were like, "Oh, fuck it, we'll just do it together." You know, so we sat on the floor and harmonized and had this sound, and we were like, "Maybe we should form a band." But we didn't play any instruments, we just sang. We had a little piano, but we just sang. And it was like, that was it. We knew we were going to be a vocal group, and it was all about the harmony.
Wow. So tell me how Hold On came about. Did someone, first of all, who wrote that?
It was written by Glenn Ballard, China, and myself.
Okay.
And it was inspired by sobriety, taking it one day at a time. Yeah, there was a music, a track, basically China took the track home. Actually, she took it. We were really pissed because Wendy and I, she took the only cassette tape, and we were like, "What are you doing?" And she just took it. And then, but thank God, it was like this divine message that came through her. And so we sort of finished, writing it the next day or the couple of days later, and got in the studio and immediately recorded it. And it was just this real, real creative synergy between Glenn and us, and the vocals and just that chorus and just that punchiness of the harmonies. It was really, we knew it was really a real strong chorus, and a mess the strong message
Right.
behind it. Very strong message.
This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to reassess your hair needs. And if I'm going to take advice from anyone, it's going to be from someone with iconic hair. The weather is getting nicer, but that means humidity is looming. And living in Florida, it's 10 times worse. No one likes frizzy, dry, or dull hair, so I use LolaVie to combat it all. LolaVie's all-star products not only repair the look and damage, but it also shields your locks from future harm and tames frizz in the process. I love that their products are clean, plant-powered, and work for every hair type and texture. And now, for a limited time, you can receive an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code Rachel at checkout. That's RACHEL. So you guys know I've been using LolaVie products for a few months now, and I love what they do for my hair. I have bought extra products for all of my guest bathrooms, and my daughter uses it also. So it really keeps my hair strong and soft. I love the lightweight hair oil. It's perfect for repairing damage and smoothing out split ends. I've even gifted the glossing detangler to a bunch of friends. It's the best after shower spray to protect your hair and give it that great shine we all want. Their shampoo and conditioner are unlike anything I've ever used. I use it, and that's the only thing I use. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code Rachel at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com, LolaVie.com with promo code Rachel. That's RACHEL. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Your hair will thank you. So did you know that it was a hit when you first were writing it? Were you like, oh my God, this is so good? Or were you guys struggling with how to put the words down? I mean, I don't know anything about writing music, you know? So talk about what that's kind of like.
Well, it wasn't really an obvious thing. I mean, every songwriter has their own way of doing it and their own creative, outlet and expression. But like we never really wrote songs like, "Let's write a hit," you always want it to be, but it was more like, what's coming out of us, and we would be inspired by each other. And I mean, sometimes you'd be like, let's write a ballad, let's write an upbeat song, let's write, but it's usually just you can't really control it when you're writing, so it just comes out, and then you sort of shape it. And I mean, there's structure, you know, there's technical stuff, you know, like verses and choruses and bridges and all that stuff, and you want it to be like good and hooky. You always think about like writing a hook, something that someone can remember. But I don't know. It's not. I think there are like more like machine type writers where they there's a lot of Nashville writers that are really, really great songwriters, and they know the formula of a hit record. And they have a lot under, you know, under their belt. But we were just sort of writing about young love and what we were going through with no sort of vision in mind other than we did have to make, we knew we had to write some singles. And so we knew Release Me was a hit. Hold On, we thought was You're in Love was another great chorus. And you know, just like prayed that people would like the music. That's really what it was.
So one of my favorite scenes out of a movie is, I don't know if you've seen it, from That Thing You Do. Did you ever see that movie?
Was that with Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there that scene where the kids are like in the store that the kid works in with the washer dryers or whatever, and they hear the music for the first time on the radio. I'm
Yeah.
curious what it was like to hear your music for the first time on the radio.
Well, I mean, it's going back really far. So, with all the pot I've smoked, I don't remember shit. But I can say that I remember being like in a van going from one radio station to the next with our like five radio stations for that day, the sixth city we visited. It was a rough schedule. But I remember screaming and celebrating, hearing it. And it was like, I mean, Hold On was our first single. So you'd hear that piano come in. And I remember we were like, why does it sound so squished? Well, they do this thing for radio called compression. So they sort of squish the song. So we're like, why does it sound like that? Because we're very technical. We're very hands-on about production and stuff. So we were like, why does it sound so funny? You know? And then sometimes they'd play it slower, sometimes it was faster, depending on the playback, whatever. But it was so great, so amazing. And they would say, like, you're selling like 150,000 records a week. And we couldn't comprehend any of it. It was very, you know, we were on tour. It was like a promotional tour. It was nonstop. So we loved it. We were grateful, and we knew that people were calling the radio stations and requesting it. And we were like, it's working, you know.
I've seen how proud you are of your daughter and her singing career. How did your parents, I mean, your parents must have been so proud. What were the conversations between you and your parents back then?
Well, we weren't really seeing our dad much in the beginning, but then later when we kind of reunited about 3 years after the first record came out, he had told us that he was following us on the charts every week, and he loved our sound, still loves our sound, and still talks about he loves our group, and it's very precious. And mom, you know, the collector of all the newspaper articles and magazine articles and all the records. I mean, I'm here at my office is messy, so you can't see. I've got my I'm blurred here, but I'm surrounded by all the gold records, and I'm very proud of it too. So they've always been very, very proud, and just like sort of blown away. And it reminds me of sort of the Beach Boys too, the way my grandma Audrey was always there on the side of the stage watching her boys sing. And there's great sense of pride that I think is passed down from the first to the second, now to the third generation, you know.
How does it feel seeing songs like that? I mean, your music in general, but especially that song, change different generations, like being in Bridesmaids and being in all the films that it's been featured in.
Yeah.
And literally anyone from my 11-year-old daughter to someone my age who's 49, it comes on the radio and that is one of the songs that you're like, oh, shh. And you turn
Yeah,
up the volume
right.
and everyone knows every word and sings and gets really into it. I have to be honest with you. I drive my daughter to school every day. And I don't
Sure.
know, maybe 2 weeks ago, we were in the car. It's like 7:45 in the morning and the song comes on and she turned up the volume
How
and she started
cute.
singing. I thought it was so cute. I'm like, I'm
That's
interviewing her in a couple of weeks. She's like, no way, mom. You know,
cute.
but I think that, you know, that really says something about the fact that there are certain artists who transcend all time, you know, and it's just a sound. It really is the sound too that is so, it gives you chills, you know,
Thank
when you
you.
hear that song. And the first couple notes of the song is so recognizable and makes you, it really makes you feel a certain way. And again, I'm not someone who is brought up with music. I'm someone who is stuck in, I wish I was born in the 80s. Like I mean, I love Daryl Hall and Jono. Like
Love.
they're my jam.
Love.
I put them on all day, all night. And some people, you know, people are like, what's wrong with you? You know, but they are the best. And there are just certain, you know, music can bring an emotion in someone. And I think that's really spectacular for people who are not in the business, but just know how it's touched us. And I think it's amazing. So what was it like to be asked to be in like bridesmaids and see how you're affecting the younger generations now?
Well, it was very cool. We didn't know anything about about the movie, and they were like, "Well, you want to be in a Judd Apatow film?" We said, "Yeah." We had no idea what we were even going to be doing, and we showed up, and they said nothing. They said, "You're going to be in a wedding scene. You're going to sing 'Hold On,'" and that's all we knew. And then the movie came out, and it was so freaking funny, and like so perfect, and just a little like the little storyline, how Wilson Phillips was kind of woven into the storyline. Being
Right.
like their sort of guilty pleasure, like their best friend that was their favorite group. It was just so sweet.
Right.
Loved it so much. And the ladies were the best ever, you know. But yeah, I mean, an honor, just an absolute honor. And like you have to pinch yourself. You still, it's still so, it's still relevant. People still send me DMs and texts and I still see it. You know, they're, it's still, it's, you know, the song has legs. It has major muscles and a very magical, a magical melody. And yeah, the sound is really, I believe that's really what it is. But yeah, I mean, it's so, it's such a, every time you get on the stage and you sing it and you see people's reaction there, you know, there's some kind of like, special place that they hold the song. It
Yes.
represents something special in their lives and it's very cool.
For
Yeah.
you, do you have a favorite song of yours that you guys did or that you helped write, or was there one that stands out to you?
You know, on our second album, there's a song called "You Won't See Me Cry," and it was the first single off the second album. We did this really beautiful video with Michael Bay. This like total, they were trying to be like this Victoria's Secret, whatever. I was squished into a freaking corset. I couldn't even breathe, but it was a beautiful video. And yeah, they spent a lot of money on that video, but it's the harmonies and that particular song is my favorite one.
Okay, good. I'll have to go listen to it. All right. At what point in your life did you meet your husband? I know that, like, now when people talk to you, you really talk about faith and your family as being two really important things. So, at what point did you meet Rob?
I met Rob when I was doing some touring dates with Beach Boy Al Jardine, not my dad, but Al. And I still tour with Al. Wendy and I still go on the road with Al and his son Matthew. They're amazing. They're like they're my family, you know. But I met Rob backstage at a Vet Rock concert with like the Animals and all these 60s bands, and it was supporting the, you know, the veterans. And saw him backstage in this food tent, and I was getting some pasta. I had worn these like really cute little butterfly clips in my hair. I put on extra perfume that day. I don't know, it was kind of a special day. Something was in the air, right? And I saw this guy with this totally fucking hot guy with this beautiful smile, beautiful teeth. He was so cute. And I saw him walk across and he was being interviewed. I'm sorry, his friend was interviewing Al Jardine, who I was doing the show with, after the show. He's like, "Oh, this is it." Then the guy said, "I'm Ken Sharp and I'm interviewing Beach Boy Al after the show. And this is my friend Rob. And he didn't want to come today because he had a headache. But and so Rob said, "Yeah, I wasn't feeling good today, but I decided because I watched your talk show and I really liked watching you." And I said, "Oh, thank you, you know." And then we went to dinner and we were and or lunch and he was like sitting by the window with this light hitting him and he looked like this Spanish, like Mediterranean dark hair. And I was like, and I was telling everyone, I have a crush on that guy. I have a crush on him, but I don't even know anything about him. And so we talked very briefly. I got home, and in those days, there was no cell phones, no nothing, but there were message boards. And I saw two Carney from Rob Bonfilio on the Wilson Phillips message board. So I was like, who's Rob Bonfilio? And I'm like, and I read the letter, and he's like, hi, it was great meeting you. And I loved your perfume. You smelled really nice, and you had little
Oh.
butterfly clips in your hair. And I was like, ah, I knew it. I knew something was up with these clips of
Right.
my perfume, you know? And
Right.
I text back, or I text, I wrote back, I'm like, are you single? That was it. So we were like magnets from that moment on. That was how we met.
Oh, that's such a great story. I
Yeah,
love
it's true.
that.
I know. From
Oh.
afar, I was LA, he was Philadelphia, and we
How
just
many years have you been together now?
25.
Wow. And how
Yeah.
many of that marriage?
24.
Oh, wow. You were married very quickly.
Very fast, a year later.
Wow. So
Yeah.
was marriage and kids something you knew was like a major priority in your life, or like when you met him, you were like, oh, wait, now I want this.
Yeah, I mean, I was engaged before
Oh.
and it was not healthy. And it was just, I mean, that's, we were meant to be together, you know, 5 years of relationship. But when I met Rob, it was very, very like natural. And just that feeling like, okay, I never want to be away from you ever, you know?
Yeah.
And it was mutual. And kids, we didn't know about. We really didn't know if we wanted to have kids. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I was like, all right. It's time. Yeah, but not
Wow.
without like some hurdles, personal hurdles that I had to get over first before I
Right.
ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so at this point, so now you've been sober for, is it 20 years?
Yeah.
20 years. Incredible. Congratulations. I know
Thank you.
how hard that is.
Thank you.
How do you, I'm curious how you talk to your kids about that, because obviously that was something you struggled with when you were younger. So, you know, what's the conversation you have with them?
Yeah, the conversation started very early, and they know I'm sober. They know I go to meetings. That's how I stay sober, is through 12 step. Even though it's anonymous, I say that because I want to shout it off the mountaintops, you know. But it's anonymous, so I have to respect that.
So that still is something big in your life. You still go to those meetings
Oh my
and.
God, I would not be sober without it. I mean,
Wow.
it's just like I have a sponsor. She's got 17 sponsees. We meet once a month for a book study. We have fellowship and support and meetings. Or, yeah, it's the only thing that ever worked. But
Wow.
I got sober right before I got pregnant. About 2 weeks before I got pregnant, I got sober. But I was just at a very low point, very low point. And even with just, you know, this weight loss that I had really flipped me out, and I didn't feel like myself. And so I wasn't able to handle it mentally, and I just started drinking. I always loved pot and loved pills and stuff, but I was never big and like into heavier drugs like coke or heroin, nothing. But I could have been very easily. And I hit a rock bottom with drinking and alcohol, and I walked into the rooms, and that was it. And I got sober, and I'm so grateful. Very grateful.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, being in AA really changes people. And then, you know, I do know people that are really struggling and
Yeah.
they go to the rehabs and they think that that fixes them for a while. And they're like, but I don't need to follow this stuff. So it sounds like for you, it's something that's been a continual thing that you really need in your life that's helped.
I have to do it every day. I mean, I'm
Yeah.
on my knees every day praying. I've learned I have a higher power. It's not a religious thing. It's just a power that I believe keeps me sober.
Yeah.
And like working with other people that have the same mentality as me, which is like an addictive personality. I put drugs and alcohol in my system and I can't stop. And I know who I am, and I have to ex share my experience and my strength and my hope with other people that are similar. Because you either get it or you don't get it.
Yeah.
Or you know, and you're in denial and you're not ready. But there
Yeah.
is definitely a type of person that has an allergic reaction. And it's the allergy of the mind and allergy of the body. And you know, when you know, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just when you're ready, you're ready. And you can't force it. But
And
I
you
went.
have to be at that point where you're ready. I think that's That's really, you know, something to be said for that too. You know, I'm someone who, my father died when he was 44 of a cocaine overdose, and I was 15. And I was always very nervous that I had the same addictive personality. And so I did not actually drink or until I got through college, and I did not try even a drug. I worked in Vegas for 5 years or so, and I didn't even try drugs until maybe 2 months before I left Vegas and moved back to New York. And I did it because I was going through a breakup, and I was like, well, everyone does this when they go through something, so let me try it. And it didn't, thank God it didn't stick. You know what I mean? It wasn't something that made me feel better. I actually felt that moment like the day after you use cocaine when it comes out of your system, where you feel that depression. And I
Oof.
was like, I
Horrible
can't,
feeling.
that's too hard for me to pick myself up from. And I did not want to get into that place in life. So I was able to use the experience that he went through. And, you know, when I got past the age of 44, I felt really proud that that was something that wasn't part of my life. But I know so many people, I think I'm attracted to people that have addictions because it makes sense to me, right? And I feel like I could fix them sometimes, which is a terrible thing, but I have a lot of empathy for that, and I'm so interested in recovery and people that are going through it because it was so close to my heart, you know?
I didn't know that about your family. It's very tragic, and it is a lesson, and I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I think people we search. We search, we're always searching for either, the happiness, the serenity, the money, the success, whatever. And like, if you're an addict, if you have an addictive personality and you find that thing, whether it's drugs or alcohol, and you go, oh, this is the thing that I was searching for, it makes me feel like, checked out or numb or, loose or, because like, I just want to take the edge off. You know what I mean? I don't want to be wasted anymore. Well, actually, I do sometimes. I'm not going to fucking lie. I mean, like, that sounds pretty good sometimes. But then there are times when I just want to take the edge off. And that's when I'm challenged because I have to get my sleep. I have to. So I took a nice walk this morning and I realized that I've got to start exercising more to get that natural serotonin and all that, the whatever they call it, the hormones in the brain. I need that. And I think I lack it. I think I'm born lacking that. So I'm always searching for not just to be high, but just sort of like just to not feel that, I guess, that low chronic depression that is inherited. And also, like the world is a weird place. I keep thinking about the negativity around, and then I go, well, if I want to sit in negativity, then I'm going to feel like shit. I've got to find the positive things and find the things that make me happy. And that's where cooking comes in for me. That's where baking comes in and feeding people makes me feel happy.
And I think it's so important for people to find a purpose. I think it's one of the hardest things in life to find your
Agree.
purpose.
Yeah,
But
agree.
once you find that, it can literally change everything. Your relationship with food, with alcohol, with drugs, with, you know, love addiction, whatever it is that you've been like struggling with, when you find your purpose, you can do anything on your own, is what I found. And it's the hardest thing to find what you're good at, what you like, what you don't think you know, it's like blockers on anything else. But once you find that, I mean, do you agree that that
Oh
changes?
yeah. Oh my God. Are you kidding? That's just like I'm always talking about that with people. Find, I mean, purpose slash passion. Because purpose is it's a pretty big word. It's like it's not that it's forced, it's just that it can be intimidating.
Yeah, I agree. That's
You
right.
know what I mean? Like there is not a better feeling than when you do something and you feel like it was purposeful. You know what I mean? But for me, I get caught up in like the ego reward shit. You know what I mean? Like if I do something nice for someone, then I deserve something nice back. Or, I and if you do find a purpose, then you feel like you're solid and you're standing and you're holding your own. And it's actually a very personal thing. And I think people are afraid to sort of tap into their own purpose. What makes them feel like they're making a difference, or that they're not just kind of meandering every minute. And it's a very it can be very lonely. I had many lonely moments where even after big success with Wilson Phillips, or having done either I don't know, even a voiceover career, big voiceover career. And it made me a lot of money, and I pissed through it all. And I've never really had like sort of a barometer. But this is what I've come to accept, like with myself and who I am and my personality. I'm wired to, and it's very much like my father. I see myself in him a lot. I'm always having to put the brakes on it. Like, where's the barometer? Where's the cutoff point? Where do I stop because it's too much? I always want more, and it drives me, and it scares me, and it hurts me. So I have to constantly check. Is this too much, or is this just right? It's annoying, but
But
I've
that's a
formed
level of self-awareness, I think,
it
that's
is.
great. And you
Yeah, I
have to have
agree.
it.
I agree.
And it probably takes some practice, obviously, to get
Oh
there.
my God, yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
So before we get into your cooking, which I want to talk to you about just really quickly, you've been on a ton of reality shows.
Yeah.
First of all, do you have a favorite one that you've done?
No.
Okay. Did you like them all, or were any of them miserable?
They're okay. I mean, it's not that I regret doing it. It's just like at the time in my life, there was some sort of connection to what it was, and it was fun, and it was, I thought the way each show, Wife Swap was fun because I got to live in somebody's house for a few days.
Who was the family you lived with?
Tracy Gold and her husband Robbie, and they turned out to be really sweet, and we made good friends with them. So that was probably my favorite one.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Wait, I wanted to ask you though about Celebrity Apprentice. First of
Oh
all,
yeah.
that wasn't a year that Donald Trump was on it, right? It was Arnold
No.
Schwarzenegger.
No, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and this was right before he ran for president. So I was I'm not thrilled that I did it, but I did it, and I was quickly kicked off.
Did Donald Trump have any interaction with you guys, or he had
No,
passed that on?
he was never there. We never met
But
him or
you
heard.
had such a good cast. Did
Yeah, we
you?
did.
Like, I feel like you had a great cast. You had so many names that I feel like people love. Like, who do did you become friends with people that you didn't know from before?
Absolutely, totally became friends with Kyle Richards and Matt Iseman. I love Matt. I think he is one of the most amazing dynamite people in the world. Love him so much. And Kyle is a dear friend and always will be. We had a lot of laughs. We laughed really hard. Those were the two that I really gravitated towards, and we're still friends.
I saw you also had Snooki, Boy George, Vince Neil.
Layla Ali.
And you also had Ricky Williams. Was he on the show?
Yeah. Ricky
So
Williams.
Ricky Williams came on my podcast a couple of weeks ago. I
Great
love
guy.
him. He has such an incredible story.
Amazing guy.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I thought that was interesting that you were on it, because I was gonna, talk to you about what it was like to be with all these people or Trump. And then when I did the research, I was like, oh, that wasn't a Trump year.
No, it was not. But I love all the Food Network stuff. I mean, that was great too, working with Guy Fieri, and he was great. Rachael Ray, that was always fun. And Chopped was great. I mean, if you consider those reality shows, I mean, they're reality TV, but those I loved.
And so what, tell me about when you got your love for cooking.
Oh God, that was back like when I was 25. I started cooking when I had my talk show. I moved to New York, Connecticut, and I started working with like making homemade tortillas, and like I was like obsessed with doing things from scratch. So I didn't really start baking then, I just started cooking. So I went to my roots. I went to like my grandma and all the stuff she loved to make, like brisket and mashed potatoes and matzo balls, and I did that. And then I started just literally scrambling eggs, like scrambled eggs. I became obsessed with how I could make scrambled eggs. Really genius. So just do a bunch of combos there. And then I started baking when I got pregnant. When I got pregnant is when I really was craving a lot of baked goods. So I started making cheesecakes and bread puddings and cakes, cookies, but mostly cheesecakes when I was pregnant. And I just became obsessed with it. And I like people would want the food that I would make, and then it would feel really good to feed them. And then I was trying not to eat the food myself, so I was sort of vicariously eating through them. It was really kind of weird. I would just like totally get off on watching people eat the food, and if they would go, I'd feel so like good inside, you know? Because A, I knew it tasted great, and B, it was like, oh my God, if I can't eat it, then I'm gonna watch you eat it, you know?
So you have this new show out, Sounds Delicious, which I have seen now, which is so cute, by the way. I love your interactions with some of these people. Now, were all these guests that you have friends of yours from the past?
I didn't know David Archuleta, but I know all the people on there.
Your chemistry with everyone is really good, by the way.
Thank
It's
you. I mean,
like it's not like a cooking, I mean, it's a cooking show, but it's like you're a fly on the wall watching these two friends like have funny conversations, you know, and I love it.
oh my God, yeah. I mean, they inspire me because they're just really great people. And then music is sort of the theme, just kind of the underlying connection that we have. But yeah, I mean, people are, I just can't, I have to laugh and I have to be crazy. It's just part of who I am. And it's so funny, even like they'll be standing next to me and I'll be flipped out that they're even there. And then I can't believe they're there. And that makes me hyper because I don't want to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. Sometimes I do. Don't forget, it takes a few hours to film an episode, but they have to edit it to 21 minutes. So they have hard work ahead of them. So we'll just be like nuts and have so much fun and great food and stories. But main thing is they come on the set and they just feel comfortable right away because I make them feel comfortable because I love them and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful they're there. I'm so grateful for the food. I'm grateful for the music. And it's just really a celebration. And
So in watching the episodes, I was curious what goes into the producing, pre-producing of it. Like, how do you pick out the meal that you want to cook or the dish, whatever it's called, that you want to cook with this certain person?
So it does take a bit of prep because we have to do two dishes. So it's mainly like a main dish and a side dish. But I do have a couple episodes where it's dessert or it's breakfast. And I've got hundreds of recipes. So the producers and I get together, and we just talk about who we love, who we think would be great to come on the show. And we sort of pair like either it's a music theme, for instance, Lisa Loeb. Okay, so she's a family woman and it's her 30th anniversary of her song Stay. So we thought family, and I'm like, okay, big family meal, big chicken dish, like Mediterranean chicken and mashed potatoes, totally comfort family. And so that's what we chose. And she loves to cook, so that was perfect. And then like Sean Stockman from Boys to Men, Philly guy, Philly cheesesteaks. And you know, even though John Stamos is not, he's Greek, he's not Italian, I thought, so sometimes I DM them also, or I'll text them, do you like chicken parmesan? And I'll say, I love it. So we go, okay, we know we're in the ballpark.
And
That's
then are for the most part, are they good at cooking or are they good at just being a conversationalist?
It's a little bit of both. Lisa cooks, but not everybody cooked. No, most of them don't. But that's what I love because they get in there and they're slightly intimidated, but it's good because they realize like, oh my God, we're not here to be like a fucking chef, you know? We're here to cook and love this food and talk and just celebrate eating together and how yummy it is. And I actually think it's inspiring them, you know?
That's great. What is your go-to meal to make and then go-to meal to eat?
Well, oh, I love everything so much. It's really hard to say, but I don't know. My family loves pasta, so I eat the gluten-free, and we love a pink sauce. So I don't do the vodka in it, but we'll do like tomato and cream, and then I'll just like jack it up. I usually make chicken on the side. I usually do like a lemon chicken, a pounded lemon chicken. My family loves it.
I love
But
that.
we always eat lemon chicken. I either serve it with pasta or rice, and I'll do like lime juice in the rice and butter and salt to just make it like simple but yummy. And I don't experiment that much because I've got a lot of picky eaters. So like everybody eats a different thing, which is really annoying. But it's good for me though, because I can make four different things in one night, and I will do that. I take the time to cook for my family, even when I'm tired. Like yesterday was a Sunday. I went to a play, came back with my friend, and made him dinner. I made Philly cheesesteaks over rice. And it was my pleasure to do it because I genuinely love it.
Yeah. People say that cooking is such a good, like, therapeutic thing. I'm terrible at it. The only cooking I've done is like HelloFresh, which like kind of makes it
You gotta
easy.
put
But
together, right.
it's funny. I go down your Instagram now and I was looking at some of the recipes you put on there. And the other day, it was yesterday, I guess I said to my daughter, "Oh, look, she has like a blue, it was like a blueberry muffin." Do you know what I'm talking about? But then I scrolled down and the ingredients were like this long. And I was
Course.
like, and her name is Wyatt. Wyatt said, "Mom, there's no shot you're going to be able to make that. Don't even waste your time. Like, let's just go buy blueberry
But the
muffins."
thing is, though, you have to experiment. I've
Yeah.
thrown a lot of stuff out. I would mess it up and go, "Okay, that sucked. What did I mess up on?" And then I realize, "Oh, I cooked at the wrong temperature," or
Yeah.
"Oh, I put salt instead of sugar." There, you got to learn somehow.
Right. Okay.
Trial
Well,
and
here's
error.
my request coming from
Okay.
a viewer, I guess. I would love to see an episode where you do like little quick meals or little things for people like me that don't know how to cook, cooking for dummies, where it's like your favorite three items that we could cook for lunch or dinner. Or like the second thing is my favorite food, I could eat it on a desert island or whatever,
Is what?
is gazpacho.
Oh,
I
really?
love gazpacho. So
Oh, you're
that like,
skinny.
I love a
Anyway,
chunky gazpacho with
see,
like,
I'm like mac and cheese, you
cucumber.
like gazpacho.
Oh.
Okay. That's hysterical.
Do you like
Oh,
gazpacho?
yeah. It's not my favorite because
Okay.
it kind of freaks me out. Like I feel like it should be hot, but
I
it's
know.
not. And that I'm like, "Well, are you eating salsa? Like
Yeah.
salsa soup? What the fuck?"
That's true. A lot of people don't like it, but I like mixing it with like clamato. Very weird.
What's Clamato?
It's clam juice and tomato juice together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very interesting. There's also a beef amato. Very good to know as a chef.
So that's interesting about the gazpacho because I like shrimp cocktail. I love shrimp. So like that reminds me of sort of that family of like almost ceviche, salsa-y kind of
That's right.
thing. So
Yeah.
I understand why you like it. It's just not my favorite, but that's so funny that it's so random to say gazpacho.
I know, so random. I know it. Who's your dream guest that you haven't had on yet that like you're trying to get or you would love to have on the show?
Well, Elton and Paul, Sir Paul and Elton John, and Sir Elton John, they've got to come on. Melissa McCarthy is standing by,
Oh.
wants to do it. And then Harry Styles would be insane, and I would love it, and we would sing, and I know he's like loves all the same music that I do.
Oh, fun.
I love Billie Eilish. I would give anything to have her on. She's the coolest. And who else? Adele would be Jean.
Oh.
Pink would be sick to have on. And she loves key lime cheesecake, so I make incredible key lime cheesecake. So that's what I would make for her because I know she loves it.
I
Yeah,
love that.
that would be awesome.
Okay. Throughout you actually spoke about that you eat gluten-free stuff. So can we just talk for a second about your thoughts on health, weight, fitness? I know you've talked openly about struggling with weight throughout the years. What for you have you found that works? Everyone now is doing Ozempic. I've heard
Right.
you say that you don't
No,
want to try that, right?
I don't. And I have a great friend of mine who had a gastric bypass when I did. Had two kids, went up and down like me, battled those 70 pounds that we gained and never lost it after childbirth. Not workout lovers, not exercisers. So like I know that if I worked out regularly, had a like a really good cardio every day, burning 500 or 600 calories, really doing it, that I probably would have maintained my weight. Because I do have my little built-in tool of a smaller belly, so I get full faster. But if you snack all day, it's calories in, calories out. It's not, it's a science. It's really very simple. Are you expending more than you're, you know what I mean? Like that's it. So if I snack, I gain weight. But I don't want to eat sugar and gluten anymore because it, I feel like a slave to it. I mean, it really comes down to like, it just gets me in a chokehold and I can't break away. When I eat sugar and when I eat gluten, all I think about is sugar and gluten,
Oh, wow.
even in the
Okay.
smallest amounts. So yes, there's traces of it in certain foods, but I really try to eat clean, do my own cooking, know what I'm putting in my mouth. And there are days when I want a big handful of Cheetos and I have it.
Yeah.
And like I satisfy myself doing that. At night when I crave sweets, which I do every day, I have a rice cake. Sometimes it's the caramel flavored or the apple flavored that has a little bit of sugar in it.
Yeah.
And I'll put a little bit of peanut butter, like a teaspoon or whatever, peanut butter, some sliced bananas, cinnamon. I eat it and it's so good. And that satisfies me. And it doesn't make me go into a crazy spin where I'm like, oh my God, chocolate. Okay. Oh, donuts, this, that, ice cream. I'm okay if I just have that. So I'm
Yeah.
not perfect like that, but no more desserts. I will not do it. And it's been since September of last year. So I've never eaten this way ever. And I miss croissants and baked goods like a lot. But I'll bake for other people sometimes. And this is like, it's not like something that I think is good to talk about, but I do sometimes. I taste it and spit it out. But it's not like I'm doing this all day. Once in a while, if I really want to taste it, I'll chew it and I'll just go to the sink and spit it out and rinse my mouth out. Okay, so that's not the worst thing in the world. But it's not something that I would say, do this. Great way to, you know, it, but I do it once in a while.
So it's interesting that you say that though, because I think there's so many people that will come on a show or whatever and say, you have to eat vegetarian, you have to eat protein only. And it really, I think that's personally, I think that's really restricting because it makes people crave what they can't have. And so has it really worked for you that if you just eat in moderation and try and cut out the sugars and the things that can be really addictive and dangerous, that you will see results on the scale?
I cannot eat sugar and like gluten stuff like bread, pastas, baked goods. I can't eat that because no matter if it's a bite or two, then I want more. But so that I don't even do in moderation.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so but I guess you would say it would be moderation if I'm having the rice cake that has a little bit of sugar on it. You know what I mean? But like that is that to me before was I would go, ew, no, I want to have just a couple bites of cake. Or I want to have half of a donut, but I can't do that. And when I stopped, that's when the weight just started melting off. So I don't, I mean, Mounjaro and Ozempic might work for certain people. It curbs your appetite, right? And that's great. But I don't want to do that because I don't want to risk any side effects. That's what I'm genuinely scared of. I don't know what's going to happen in the future with these drugs. And people are going to the hospital for it. They're having weird gallbladder stuff. They're having weird belly stuff. And I have a lap band over a bypass. I don't want to mess with anything right now. I'm good. So that's okay. If it works for them, great. If it works for somebody else, great. But for me, it's dietary restrictive, and I just feel better. I don't feel as inflamed. You know what I mean? I was really like inflammation was bad before. Real bad.
Yeah, I think it's also again, I think it's so important to for people to realize what works for them is what's important. And that feeling of like, did you're not lactose or intolerant or gluten, what is it, allergic to gluten?
Iliac? No,
No. Okay.
not. Although, like, I fart a lot, so I think like I have a lot of gas. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just a farter, you know? So like vegetables still make my stomach go woo, like
Yeah.
nuts, somersaults, you
Right.
know? And I don't know if that's ever going to change. So gas sex is my middle name and
Yeah.
that's just the truth, whatever.
I love a good gas X. I
Oh
love
my God. I know. And now there's a new one called, what's the other one? Phazyme.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Phazyme, whatever. That's good too. So whatever. It's, I think, it's just a natural thing, and some people are more flatulent than others, you know. But
Right.
I find it funny, so you know, that's a whole other conversation,
Yeah.
because that's a real
That's hysterical.
right.
All
Yeah.
right, so how many episodes are out now of your show, and is there going to be a second season?
So we're episode 4 is coming up. It's like a Mother's Day thing. So my sister Wendy from Wilson Phillips and my mom comes in at the end. Really cute. We make
Great.
fresh bread. Fresh bread. Speaking of carbs and bread. Oh God. But yeah, so I taste it and then I in the sink, but you don't see
Right.
that. Anyway, we do bread and a breakfast casserole. So good. There's 12 episodes, and we are waiting for the green light for season 2, which I think is going to happen. And a bunch of guests are waiting. My good friend Joey Fatone from NSYNC is like, I can't wait to have him on.
Oh, I
So
love
I do
them.
think we'll have a season 2. Yeah.
Oh, good. I hope so. And this is on what's the network? Access? Is that how you
Yes.
pronounce it?
AXS, Access TV, AXS TV. And yeah, it's like good old fashioned cable. It's kind of hard to find if you don't have it, but you can find it. But it's you know, Spectrum and DirecTV has it, and there's a way to find it. But Access is great because it's a music channel, and it's the perfect home for it, I think. Really, really fits sort of the energy of the show. It's yeah, it's
And
fun.
people can scroll down your Instagram and see some clips just to get a little taste of it, but
A
it's
taste of it.
really, really cute.
Thank
So
you.
you've been in this business a long time. Like, what keeps you inspired in it? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I don't know. I'm a list maker, so I just keep kind of making these lists of the things that I want to attain, the goals I want to attain. I'm a big, like, I really, really believe in seeing something, you know, like envisioning everything.
Oh, like a vision board, yeah.
So almost like the mental, you know, in your own mind and heart, vision board. But also sometimes I believe in just being spontaneous with stuff. You know, I have a 14-year-old daughter, so I'm very much, you know, a hands-on mother. And my daughter Lola is singing with us now, and she's performing, and she's writing songs, and we love singing together. I don't know. I think just continuing with what I'm doing, this is sort of a really great new chapter. And I've waited 2 decades to do a cooking show. So hopefully this will spark other things too in that world. Who knows what's around the corner? I just want to keep on cooking for sure.
I'm curious because you were just talking about your daughter performing with you. Is there one like lesson you tell her or something that you always remind her about now that you've been through it, you come from such a musical family? Is there something you say to her to always remind her of things?
Yeah, backup plan. She's so great. She's going to college, going to Chapman, you know, University, and she's starting in the fall, and she's majoring in psychology. So I'm really proud of her. She's going to have this education and maybe combine music and psychology. We'll see. But I just tell her, you know, find something you love and that makes you feel happy. And there are a lot of voices around us, whether it's from social media or TV or you know, your friends and sort of their direction they're going in their career. And if you don't really know until you're in your mid-20s, okay, that's okay. Just ultimately, you know, look inside and say, notice the patterns in your life. What are you attracted to? And don't be ashamed of it. You know, if you are attracted to plants and trees or whatever, or you're the chemistry of something, just go get a degree, you know, contribute to science, like follow what makes you happy, and forget these pressure voices that you have to be, look, do with what somebody else is doing or what someone wants you to do. Do what you do want to do.
Okay, just a couple questions about like if people want to get into your head for a minute. If you're in a car driving or putting on headphones and walking down the beach, what is your go-to music?
It's so across the board, you have no idea. I mean, it is beyond the ADD of music. It really is. I mean, 1 minute I'm listening, 1 minute it's Sade,
Oh.
the next minute it's the B-52s. So it's totally mood driven. You
Okay.
know, if I want to be uplifted and inspired, I'm putting on Earth, Wind & Fire and, you
Me too.
know, B-52s. You know, I need to hear sing a song and, you know. But then sometimes I just want to mellow out and just like think about things, and I'll listen to John Mayer, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like Love on the Weekend, I'm like literally changes my body chemistry, you know? So yeah.
Are you on the whole Taylor Swift train? Are you obsessed? Have you
You
been to the
know,
concert?
definitely not obsessed, but I have to say inspired and sort of blown away by. And there is one song that completely flips me out. It was in the show Heartstopper. It was the last song, and it's called Seven. And I don't even know what album it's on, but it's like a ballad, and it is hauntingly fantastic.
Oh, wow.
So that's my favorite Taylor Swift song.
Okay. Will you be going to the Eras tour
No,
anytime? You don't care about that.
no, because I don't even know. I'll feel like 100, and I'll be like out of breath watching her. And I'll just probably feel like shit going, oh my God, how could anybody sing, look, and write and do like that? Then
Yeah.
I'll just probably, and I'll do exactly what I tell my daughters not to do. Don't compare yourself to other people.
Right.
Ah!
Okay.
Oh God.
What are you watching at night before you go to sleep? Like, do you have a favorite streaming show on Netflix?
Okay, so I sort of oscillate. I'm really weird. I'm very creature of habit. So I, and it's actually slightly obsessive. I have to keep watching the same goddamn shows over and over. So it's Schitt's Creek,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Yellowstone, it's Heartstopper. I watch them over and over. But my new one that I'm obsessed with is it's called Alone, and they drop 10 people off in the freaking woods and the forests and the mountains, and they survive. And the
Is it a
last one's
reality show?
And then the last one standing wins $500,000. And I can't. I mean, this guy ate a mouse. I can't. I
Oh, so
just
it's like
can't.
Survivor.
Yeah.
Oh my
And I
goodness.
just, oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. It's so extreme, and it makes me feel like sort of uneasy, but I kind of
Yeah.
love it.
Oh, I'll have to look that up. I'm really
Yeah.
into documentaries. Do you like true crime or documentaries, anything like that?
Yeah, I do. I do. My husband really loves that stuff. So once in a while I'll get into that too. Like, what was
Right.
that Anna one? Anna, being Anna or becoming Anna,
Yes.
or
Yeah, whatever it was about
Anna,
Anna Delvey, the
yeah.
girl who manipulated everybody, whatever.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
yeah, so I like that
You
too.
should see American Nightmare. Did you see that yet?
No, but
It's
Rob
based
keeps
on a
telling me.
true story and really good. I think you would like it.
Okay.
So, that's a good one. Okay, wait, talk to me about your is it a partnership with Jeff Lewis? Are you guys just buddies and you come on all the time and laugh? Like what's the story there?
Yeah, he became a good friend after we met. I met him at Kyle Richards' house actually at a party. We
Oh.
performed there. It was a charity night. And yeah, I was like, I love you. I watched Flipping Out, and you're so cute and funny.
Yeah.
And then we didn't meet for a long time. And then I saw his new show, and I just DM'd him on Instagram. And I said, he goes, oh, you should come on my radio show. I didn't even know he had one. And then I went on his radio show, and I realized he's got this huge fan base, and
Yeah.
you know, people love him, and he's really funny. And we started going out to dinner and concerts together and became friends, and sort of just, I don't know, we have this sort of mutual respect for each other.
Yeah.
We sort of are wired the same way, and have we think the same. And then he asked me to come and host his after show, and I do it once a week, and I'll be on next week, you know, on Jeff, and I love him. I just love him.
He's a great guy. I've been on a show a couple times. I had dinner with him and Shane when they came to New York recently, and they're just
Fabulous.
so much fun. And
I
when you
love
get to
Shane.
know them on a different level too, they're great guys.
They are.
And yeah, I mean it's great to see you on that show because you've got great chemistry with all of them. And so you go on and you don't talk about you necessarily. You just like shit and giggles about all the things that are happening. Yeah.
Totally, totally. And then once in a while there's like a project to promote, like the show. He's very good about that. What I love about Jeff is that he's a proponent of people's success, and he likes people to own what they love and
Yeah.
do. And I'm very grateful, because he's not this like selfish guy. He actually thinks of other people all the time. So when people come on a show, he loves to say, promote it. Yes, you're awesome. So
Yeah.
that's good. Because I forget sometimes I don't like to do that. Like I don't I feel like I'm bragging or whatever, but it's important to own your shit.
Of course, 100%. You know, wait, I have one more question about your show. When I was watching you do some stuff, I was noticing sometimes you had different pots and pans. That is a big question that I have. What are there certain like type of pots and pans you should be using? By the way, you had like this beautiful yellow pot. I was like, oh, I want that.
That's
But as
caraway.
someone
That's
who's
caraway.
caraway, okay, if
Caraway's
there,
great.
as someone who is not a cooker but would be interested in like following cookbooks, I had Kimball Moscon, who just ha has a gorgeous new cookbook out. You know, sometimes when you're cooking with shitty stuff, I mean, it doesn't help. So like, what would you suggest for someone who wants to refresh their kitchen?
Well, it's good to have good bakeware and good cookware. And I think that you, it's good to invest in a set. I mean, there's a whole range. It just depends on your price range, but you can find good nonstick. I like nonstick, but there's just certain rules like do's and don'ts. You know what I mean? Don't put the metal on the nonstick because it will scratch it. You know, keep it to silicone when you're stirring. But like, just caraway, I think, is really good because it's reasonable and it's nice and it's really really good. I don't sit there and invest. I'd rather buy makeup, you know, than a good knife, than a good knife. You know what I mean? But I do think having some good knives too. But you got to be careful because sharp knives, you'll get cut, and you don't have to work as hard. And people think, oh, I got to chop down really hard. But when you have good knives, it's just this sort of rhythm and gentleness. It's the dull knives that you work so hard and then you also get cut. But I would say a good set of knives, and a good and just a basic, you know, skillet and pot, start there.
It's so funny you say that about the knives. I had a job in college for maybe 2 weeks, and it was to sell knives for
Oh my God.
Cutco knives, you know, like
That's so
Vector
funny.
Marketing.
Right.
And to this day, in my kitchen right now, I have one. It's actually really pretty, a white pearl Cutco knife that still works, you know,
Wow.
30 years later,
I
35 years
love
later,
it.
whatever it is.
Love
And
it.
then I have all these shitty knives that I was like, oh, I've got to go get more knives because I got them from Home Goods or wherever the hell
Yeah,
you get them,
right.
or
I have them
Target.
too. Yeah.
And they all have rust on them from putting them
Of
in the
course.
washing machine.
They're
And
fading
I
everywhere.
said to my mother the other day, you know, working at that place, I learned about a good knife. I got to Google where I can get a Cutco knife now. So anyway,
Funny.
I
Yeah,
agreed. Good knives. They
I have
last.
the good knives. Just get a little butcher block and invest in it. Yeah, it helps.
Okay, so where can people find you, locate you, watch your show? Tell me one more time about that.
All right. Well, you know, I'm on Facebook, but I really love Instagram. So it's at Carney68, Carnie 68. And Access TV, AXS.TV. You could go there. And yeah, every Tuesday night at 8:30 it's on, and it's just I'm very grateful to people if they watch. I hope they learn something and they get in the kitchen themselves, celebrate it, put your Alexa on or whatever the hell you have and blast the music and get everybody in the kitchen and cook and eat and celebrate life together. That's what we do.
Well, it's been such a pleasure. I wish you the best of luck. I think you're
Thank you.
amazing, and I
Thank
can't
you.
wait
You
to
too.
see some of your upcoming shows and watch you on Jeff too. And hopefully one day we'll meet in person. I think you're just the best.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you, Rachel. You're beautiful, and I love what you do too. So thank you.
Thank you. Mwah.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Carney, thanks again. I really.